Hi, Chris.
Hey.
Hey, we're going on at 5:06, which is right now. So, just a moment, guys. Hang on a second.
There are 7 participants in the conference.
One, Wayne, myself, Mary Jo, Bonnie, Kathy, and Chris.
I bet we're gonna screw up tonight because a bunch of people are gonna come in at 6:30, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we told them that, you know, every night.
Yep.
Did you?
We couldn't tell them any more than we did.
Okay. All right.
Hello, this is the Monday night with Wynn conference call. Would you like to state your name and where you're from?
Hi, Suzanne. It's Jackie in San Diego.
Oh,
hi, Jackie.
Hi, everybody.
Thanks, Terry. Jackie. And Tucson.
I'm glad you survived.
Okay. So we have Jackie, Wayne, Chris. Are we on the analysis? We could actually be on the air. Hello, Seth. Hello, Seth. Where are you? Wayne, are you listening to VBS?
I can't get to it. I'm trying, but when you pull up and click the Winfrey conference call, it's still showing 6:30, and there's no place to click here to listen.
Mm-hmm.
All callers are muted.
All right, everyone in BBS land just heard us say all callers are muted. That means you know we are on a conference call. My name is Lynn Free. This is our Monday night. I think we're changing it to the Monday night healing hour, planetary healing hour. It hasn't officially changed yet, but those of you who have noticed, BBS is going through lots and lots of changes now. So it's better not to do anything until they settle down. So you folks are listening to a simulcast, and that means we are simultaneously on a conference call and on the Internet. And those little beeps you hear in between my words indicate that people are actually coming on to the conference line as we're speaking. And the reason we're doing this is because it started out as a conference line call. And what I would call, my goal was to create a co-creative energy, co-creative between listeners and me and each other, where we would create a group energy. And also to create certain ideas that would help people present certain ideas that would help listeners understand what's happening on our planet and understand their own natures a little bit better. We talk a lot about connecting our vibrations with those energies that we call group souls on the other side of the veil, and learning how to become friends on a very personal level with those energies. And also we talk about the things that you have to do in the physical and in your own life that make it more possible for that to occur for you. For you to be expansive enough to be able to connect your energies with things outside of this realm. Now, that's quite a tall order. For many people, the first time they hear that, it sounds crazy because we're all so used to connecting our energies in this realm, and we're always looking for better places to connect it in this realm. Well, on our call, we are focusing mostly on connecting out of this realm and bringing those energies that are out of this realm into this realm. And that means you have to hold an energy yourself that is like a bridge energy that's both in this realm and out of this realm. And everyone, I would say almost everyone, maybe I can say everyone that's in a physical body, isn't challenged. They're challenged because we have a reality system, each of us. Now, all our reality systems are not the same, but each of us has a reality system that's rather persuasive, and that we've been brought up, we've lived, we've had our co-relationships, our co-workers, our family, and we all buy into certain assumed things. And once we do that, we're in a reality system. Like one reality system is dog eat dog, got to get ahead before somebody takes your space. Another reality system is let's go to church to make sure we get saved. Another reality system is, well, you go to college, you go to high school, you go to college, you get married, you have children, you see your parents every Friday night, and that's a reality system. There's like as many reality systems, they all change slightly from person to person, or drastically, but there's a general sweep of reality systems that most people participate in. And then you want to get out of those reality systems. I mean, what is the real reality? What's the potential here? And you realize that there is something beyond those reality systems. And now for some people, this is going to look like another reality system. They're going to discard it because they're going to think, oh, that's Wynn's reality system. But let me tell you, this is, and you have to do your own investigation. If you want to think of it as my reality system, then you're welcome to. But if you kick the tires, you'll find that there's things going on around what's happening here on this call and what's happening for the people that have been checking in on this call that are not in this reality system. Things are occurring that are outside what's normal. And we're having a co-creative interaction with intelligences outside of this reality system, huge intelligences that have identified themselves as group souls. And the people, many people are having just some kind of phenomenal experience indicating that that's really so, and not just because I say so, but because they're having the experience. And so when one first hears something like this, and maybe even quite a distance after one first hears it, there's a human quality that you have to start applying, which is discernment. How do you know this is real? How do you know what's real? How do you know what to do with your life? How do you know anything? And as many of you know, I've had the experience over quite some period of time of having communications with those intelligences outside of this reality system, the ones I'm referring to. Now, I could be crazy, but I don't think so. Somebody's talking to me. They're talking, you know, and so within the context of these conversations, there was occasionally a time when we did readings for other people. Now, the person that's going to share this clip is not available to do readings. So if anybody is interested, that's not going to happen. There's somebody else that is available, and we're not going to play their clip, but we'll refer you to Wednesday where you can hear their channelings. They're going to do a live channeling on the phone line. But this was a very, very wise channeling to an individual And it was his personal reading, but he gave me permission to share it, on discernment. And I thought it's a channeling that's so deep, we can actually play it and go back into it, because I guarantee you, you're going to miss some of the key things that they tell this person. And it would be good to go review it almost sentence by sentence and look at what's actually being said and translate it into a simple enough language that anyone could understand. Because the only tool, or the most powerful tool we have in establishing our direction, is making decisions. And you can't make a decision without knowing how to apply discernment. And how does discernment work, and how do you utilize it? Seth, if you're ready, you can roll it. Make sure it's loud on the phone.
The first lesson of this entity is to learn lessons regarding the use of what we deem in third density discernment. This is also known as wise judgment, good decision making, a good taking in of information, processing the attenuating flow from the consciousness, bringing to consciousness subconscious and unconscious patterns of blockage and transmuting them for greater understanding, for the good of both the personality self and the higher self, translating out into the superstructure, the social structure of the family, the social environment, the creative grouping, and the spiritual grouping around the entity. This translates into a taking of responsibility of unconscious patterns in the state of reactivity in which one finds oneself encased, and learning to unlock through self-observation those patterns which hold the entity in a lower vibratory circle, a lower vibratory orbit. As one learns to observe oneself, as one learns to watch one's own behaviors without judgment, one can begin to free oneself from lower vibratory patterns which hold one stuck in a state of anger, fear, guilt, frustration, false obligation, etc. This is something which does not take place overnight. This is a process which, in this particular case, has been ongoing for 3 years approximately, and shall move into the future time at a more accelerated pace. The next 7 months, we see a period of accelerated growth for the entity. This is supported by working with a light matrix of the spiritual support network and connecting on a personal emailing basis and phone basis with other members of the group, becoming part of the discussion team and volunteering time. The participation in the group shall lend support to a strengthening sense of solidarity, a sense of what the soul is apart from the personality essence. as this matures and grows strong, the entity shall find himself feeling more self-accepting, more self-confident, and able to reach out in the world in ways that he has not heretofore mastered, yet he wishes to master them. This brings us to the second point, which is self-confidence and reaching out to others. Reaching out in a centered way from the strength of the heart, not in a fearful way or a codependent way or a grabbing kind of way. There are only a few in your culture which have essentially mastered this trait at a high level. But it is a track which this entity has chosen to pursue. This one needs to learn self-reliance. By self-reliance, we do not mean the entity cuts himself off energetically from others. It means that he is confident enough in himself and his reliance upon the God self within, and the knowingness of this, and the anchoring of this, and the feeling of this within the soul, that he can share his life stream, his life and light love with all of those around him. A fine way to do this is volunteer work. Volunteering time with those less fortunate, be them animals, the homeless, people with physical or mental disabilities, people in hospitals, people in hospices, all have great need of volunteer. Service to other in this capacity forces a maturing, forces a coming to self in the big sense of the word, and moving from the egoic small self and forcing expansiveness in the correct way of growth towards the Godhead.
Okay, that was it. Thank you, Seth, and thank you for the volume on the phone tonight. And be prepared, because I'm going to do that, play that song very, very shortly. This was a song that I had written some years ago, when I would say that I was in the same place or a similar place to the person that was having that reading. And I used to write music as part of my own therapy to look at myself and to be able to, they would just come out, and I'd say, my God, that describes the circumstance. So there was a song that I wrote in that period called Recycled Pain, which I did a recording of not so long ago, and I thought I would add it to that particular reading. So Seth, go ahead and play that whenever you're ready. Recycled Pain.
Yes, I got this inside, I tried to lay on you. Spoke the same old words of love, but the feelings weren't true. And though you made me feel good for a little while, that hurt came back again. Just another case of recycled pain. Just another case of recycled pain. It's another case of recycled pain. Yes, I had been blaming you for these feelings that I had. Yes, I had been naming you responsible for all the bad, shifting responsibility, temporarily easing my shame. Just another case of recycled pain. It's another case of recycled pain. Just another case of recycled pain.
Changed to 6 o'clock, and sorry you did not get notification of that, but we're talking about discernment, and we played a channeling on discernment, and right now we've gone from chaos through all these levels of energy, stepped down into the physical. And sometimes the chaos comes out the other end, but it's usually not the chaos we expect. That's when our life gets chaotic. Maybe that's not a good chaos. Maybe it's just the same as the other chaos. Maybe it's a step of chaos that causes us to reorganize ourselves. Because if you can live in the consciousness of chaos, and I don't know if that's the best visual, but let me try to go with it and see if I can communicate this. If you can walk into a circumstance and have no preconceived thoughts about that circumstance or that person, and your mind is empty and you're clear with an empty mind, then that would be kind of what I mean by chaos. There's no organized reality that you're carrying around with you. In which case, then, if you're watching the energy very carefully, you'll feel the other person, and you'll respond to them, and you will talk to them in a place that you would not normally do, although some of you do this who are on this line. You've learned how to talk from the chaos, where the communication and the words come through you. You don't know what you're going to say next. You're talking to that person. You're feeling their energy. Now, some of you, when you're around this other person, depending on who they are, you're thinking to yourself, I hope they like me. Now, that is a big one. That is a big reality system. I hope they like me. Do you know, when you have that as part of your reality system, do you realize how much power you've given to that other person? Because if they don't like you, or they don't like something about you, in that moment, you are going to crash. And then you're going to go judge yourself like there's something wrong with you. So it's a thought form. I hope they like me. And now, of course, they might be thinking the same thing. They might be thinking, I hope she likes me or he likes me. And then you're just kind of like grasping around in the darkness, hoping somebody starts this idea of giving an indication that they like the other person. And you make one wrong mistaken move, and suddenly there's hurt and rejection, and it breaks apart. So that's a reality system that almost everybody has to some extent. I hope they like me. Now, another person might be thinking or acting like, God, I've got to look for people that hope somebody likes them. Because I've learned how to control those people. Now that's where a service to self guy comes in and now pounces, because when he finds somebody that has the need to be liked, he can control them by their need to be liked. So we've all done that. And we do these things sometimes subconsciously. I mean, that's not like we're sitting there even thinking so manipulatively, but everybody reads everybody reads everybody, so that wherever you are, unless you have the same distortion as another person, for example, if two people have the same distortion, like, I hope they like me, then when they come together, neither of them realizes that they're doing that. And you can watch this dance, if the reality system is strong enough, the chances are one of them is going to do something to upset the other person and the whole thing implodes. Although the other alternative is they kind of test each other. And finally, you know, they say something, they reach a knowingness that says, I know they like me. I know they like me. So now they connect. And if it's a man and woman, sometimes it turns into codependency, because the liking is based on personality factors and maybe not the deepest of energetic connection, which then easily turns into codependency. So the goal is if you have your arrow pointed high, if you want to move into high country, how do you make discern? How do you make the decisions, everyday decisions, of coming from chaos into a structured reality? And you know what? I'm going to try this. This may or may not work. I was going to go play that reading, because it was an extraordinary reading about discernment. And there were little keys in it that I thought might help you guys and help me. It helped me when I heard it. So let's see.
The first lesson of this entity is to learn lessons regarding the use of what we deem in third density discernment. This is also known as wise judgment, good decision making, a good taking in of information, processing, the attenuating flow from the consciousness, bringing to consciousness subconscious and unconscious patterns of blockage and transmuting them.
Okay. So, let's see. Making good decisions, bringing through patterns, both conscious and unconscious, and transmuting them. So, let me repeat what I heard there and how I apply that. The first step of discernment is actually learning your own processes and honestly being able to observe what you do. For example, if you have to be one of those people that says, I hope they like me, whenever you meet someone new or you're in a circumstance, then I think you can go into the circumstance, and just because you know that's your process doesn't mean it's going to go away. It's still going to be there. You can observe yourself doing that. And the part of you that's observing yourself is actually moving beyond the actual distortion. And there is an automatic upliftment of your vibration over time and a release from the control of that particular distortion when you can observe it. Now, when you're not observing it, you're just in it. Now you're that process, I hope they like me, makes you insecure, unconfident, nervous, and actually there's a belief system that's attached to it, which is unworthy, because God, I don't deserve to be liked. That's why I have to get lucky. I hope that somebody likes me. I hope they like me relates to unworthiness, I believe. That's what came to me as I was talking about it. And so once you start watching it and you say, oh, there's me acting unworthy. I know I'm worthy. I know I'm part of God. There's part of me that doesn't believe it, but my mind, you know, I've heard enough. I've seen enough people. I felt the spirit. So you can now observe that distortion from another place and start to heal it. And that's probably what they meant by a subconscious pattern. I would say every belief system has a deeper kind of thought form attached to it and a deeper principle attached to it. And we're at the effect of the belief system, but you don't see the deeper principle. Like, I hope they like me has unworthiness. And once you make that connection, then you can start watching that. And then even if you don't change it immediately, the fact that you're watching it causes it to shift over time. Let me go on here a little bit with this reading.
For greater understanding, for the good of both the personality self and the higher self, translating out into the superstructure, the social structure of the family, the social environment, the creative grouping, and the spiritual grouping around the entity.
So now they're taking this idea of discernment and connecting it with the high self and the whole group around you. You see, each of us is faced with decisions every single day. What decision are you going to make? And how do you know? Some decisions you have to make. You have to do certain things. And other ones are totally optional, and you could do them or not do them. And you could call this person, or you could call that person, or you could drive to this city, or you could drive to that city. Let's go on. I'll share with you a really subtle one where you learn to make decisions that cause synchronicities. It's part of my experience.
Translates into a taking of responsibility of unconscious patterns in...
So that's just exactly what I said, taking of responsibility of unconscious patterns. In other words, once you start to recognize the pattern, and the way you learn the pattern is by looking at the effects, looking at the repetitive things that you have been doing your entire life, and wonder, why does that always happen to me when I do that? The lower way of relating to it is victimization. And once you realize that you and your own consciousness are putting out the thought forms to create victimization, you are now far in advance of mastering that particular attitude.
The state of reactivity in which one finds oneself encased, and learning to unlock through self-observation those patterns which hold the entity in a lower vibratory circle, a lower vibratory orbit. As one learns to observe oneself, as one learns to watch one's own behaviors without judgment, one can begin to free oneself from lower vibratory patterns which hold one stuck in a state of anger, fear, guilt, frustration, false obligation, etc. This is something which does not take place overnight. This is a process which, in this particular case, has been ongoing for 3 years approximately, and shall move into the future time at a more accelerated pace. The next 7 months, we see a period of accelerated growth for the entity. This is supported by working with the light matrix of the spiritual support network and connecting on a personal emailing basis and phone basis with other members of the group, becoming part of the discussion and volunteering time. The participation in the group shall lend support to a strengthening sense of solidarity, a sense of what the soul is apart from the personality essence. As this matures, matures and grows strong. The Ishtisha finds himself feeling more self-accepting, more self-confident, and able to reach out in the world in ways that he has not heretofore mastered, yet he wishes to master them. This brings us to the second point, which is self-confidence and reaching out to others. Reaching out in a centered way from the strength of the heart, not in a fearful way or a codependent way or a grabbing kind of way. There are only a few in your culture which have essentially mastered this trait at a high level. But it is the track which this entity has chosen to pursue. This one needs to learn self-reliance. By self-reliance, we do not mean the entity cuts himself off energetically from others. It means that he is confident enough in himself and his reliance upon the God self within, and the knowingness of this, and the anchoring of this, and the feeling of this within the soul, that he can share his life stream, his life and light love with all of those around him. A fine way to do this is volunteer work. Volunteering time with those less fortunate, be them animals, the homeless, people with physical or mental disabilities, people in hospitals, people in hospices, all have great need of volunteer. Service to other in this capacity forces a maturing, forces a coming to self in the big sense of the word.
Now, keep in mind, this was a reading for a specific individual. So it certainly doesn't mean that it applies to you in terms of the specific counsel. But one of the things they were telling him, and this is a person that was actually, let me not describe anything about the person. Let me say that they were telling them to come into our conference line and to get to know the people. One of the things that problems or challenges people have when they start to want to change their reality system, once you could identify the fact that you have a lower level reality system running you, because you have to identify that first. Once you identify that and you make a choice to want to change it, then you have a challenge, because most of the people in your life have gotten used to you in your old system, and you've gotten used to them. And when you're around them, they're going to keep pulling you into familiar patterns, and you're going to find yourself a little bit uncomfortable. So what's happening on our conference line is that it's a way to meet new people that have no preconception of you, that you can now create who you are as a spontaneous whoever you become on this line. Plus, they are working with these high principles that we're just talking about on this call. So you get a chance to meet and hang out with people that actually have their arrows fairly high, which eventually is going to cause your arrow to be pointed high. And because they are not going to respond to you in what might be your old familiar reality system. And so I say this in hindsight because I've watched it happen. I didn't know what happened when we started doing these calls. In fact, I didn't know what would happen. But we've been doing them now for at least a year and a half, I think maybe longer. And I would say that the people who have been on the call regularly have had profound transformations. And what's great about it is it's free. You can come in every night of the week, and there's a little support group that you can connect with. Now, it's not a chatty, we're not just having conversations on these lines. You know, we're adding to this the fact that there's an interdimensional energy present on this line, and that it's present right now if you look for it. There's a connection, and this is where it gets interesting, with these intelligences from other dimensions that can move into our space, but who do not violate free will. So they have to be asked. And part of how I see my job is to create a reality and a comfortability and a trust so that first you can feel the energy and second that you'll ask for that if you so choose to be part of your life on an ongoing basis, in which case you now have friends, energy friends you could call them, that you can feel in your space and that can give you support, that can talk to you in your dreams. And that's an amazing thing to experience in this realm. So in the meantime, to get to that experience, you have to let go or be open to it. You have to empty yourself. And if you're filled with reality systems, then it becomes hard to empty yourself because you're saying, that can't be. I can't have friends in other dimensions. I'm needy. I need this. I need that. And then you go out in the world looking to fulfill your needs, and yes, other people can fulfill your needs, and what happens is when they do, you get stuck in their reality system. Normally, people, unless they really love you in a very unconditional way, when you go to get your needs met, whoever fulfills your needs makes you feel obligated, and now you are trapped. So needs are a tricky thing. And if you're going to go get them fulfilled, you have to be very discerning who you allow to fulfill your needs. And I thought, man, we'll play one more song. Let me see, what time is it? It's 9:45. One more song, and then we'll do a calling in of the light. And then for those that are on the line, we will have our normal going around and everybody putting specific prayer requests out. And those of you who enjoyed that reading, there's a fellow named Matthew Edwards, and on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock, we are doing a live session with Matthew on the phone line, where he's actually channeling on the phone line and answering questions. And I put up a website. Let me just tell you, this website will be active tomorrow. It's called theradiantzone.com. Theradiantzone.com, which you can actually listen to Matthew and get the phone number. And if you would like to write that phone number down right now, Do I have it? Let me see here. Let me keep talking. I'm just looking it up. Let me unmute. Somebody there is unmuted. Go get that phone number, and I'll just open the line up, and you can share it, okay? Are you guys ready? One second.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everybody's unmuted. How many of you are on the East Coast?
Let's see.
One. Me.
Okay.
Yep.
Say hello. Say hello to our.
I've got the number from Matt the Chandler.
Oh, you do? Go ahead. Thank you,
yes.
Bobby.
218-862-1115, and the PIN is 88261#.
Hey, Bobby. I thought you were shy. That was pretty good.
Oh, no, I'm not shy. I've been in music for several years, so I know.
All right. Thank you so much. So anyone that's on the West Coast, say hello.
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 There you go. I just want you guys on BBS to know that we really do have a conference line here. Anyone in the middle of the country... want to say hello? Okay. Where are you guys in the middle? They're not here today. Okay. So, Clinton Mutual, I was going to play this song I wrote. At the same time, I wrote Recycled Pain. And I thought it's kind of in the same...
All callers are unmuted. All callers are muted.
It's in the same vein. It's in this topic. And I thought we'd share it. It's called Give More Than You Take. And this is, you know, it's been a long time. Some of you don't know I play music. Because it's neat to be able to share it, and that I'm human. And this is part of, was a part of my life that was a big thing that I was doing. So could we play Give More Than You Take? See if Seth's on the ball. Seth, are you listening? Seth, are you listening? We're playing Give More Than You Take. Okay, we don't have our system down yet. And first of all, as soon as I make pretend I'm not going to play it, I'll play it. Okay. We will skip that, and we will go into a calling in of the light.
I've been learning lately what love really means, how to give myself to you, leave behind the schemes, wondering how much I was gonna win, gonna lose. All the golden cord knots just won't cure the blues. But when you give more than you take, I really do believe, when you give more than you take, you get just what you need. When you give more than you take, it comes back at its own speed, and you find the real joy in you. I've been learning lately the rewards don't always come at the same instant that you're giving to someone. And if you're sitting and you're waiting for the giving to return, strings you're holding onto gonna get your fingers burned. But when you give more than you take, I really do believe, when you give more than you take, it comes back at its own speed. When you give more than you take,
selfishness, though I didn't know much better. Yes, I do know now, everything I do.